Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. This episode is proudly presented by Oxworks, Australia's largest family-owned fencing supplier and manufacturer. Your local Oxworks offers an extensive range of top-quality fencing solutions, glass and aluminium pool fencing, genuine colour-bond steel fencing, slat fencing and laser-cut screens, custom architectural panels and gates. They've got it. No matter if you're a DIY enthusiast or the experienced trade customer, Oxworks has you covered. Shop and browse through the hundreds of quality products online at oxworks.com.au. Even better, visit one of their stores in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, or WA. Thanks, Oxworks, for your awesome support. Welcome to Andy Raymond Unfiltered. The Dream Team series continues. It is sponsored by Oxworks, Australia's largest family-owned fencing supplier and manufacturer. We've got a belter for you on this episode. I'm joined by a young bloke I've known since we both started in the early 90s. He's now an ONZM, a New Zealand Order of Merit recipient, and I'm still an immature child waiting to grow up. Stephen Peter Kearney, how are you, legend?
Very well, thank you, Andy.
What's that mean to you? What's that mean to the family, an ONZM? Because accolades like that are more than just rugby league.
Yeah, I mean, they mean a great deal, obviously, yeah. For the family, from a family perspective, you know, sort of humble beginnings of, yeah. Out on the Kapiti Coast, which is about 40 minutes north of Auckland, north of Wellington, New Zealand, down the bottom of the North Island. So, where I'd sort of come from to, all of a sudden end up with that, title, next to me name. I must say, I've never been introduced like that before. But it is nice, and the family obviously, very very proud, of that and the contribution, because they've played an important part in terms of the contribution to rugby league too.
As we begin 2024, what are you up to with yourself, mate? You've played and you've coached at the highest level for decade upon decade. Are you still involved in the game?
Yeah, I am, and I watch a fair bit of schoolboy footy, you want to call it Malmeninga, which is under 18s, and Cyril Connell, which is under 16s. My role now, I work with a close friend of mine who owns a management company, and I do a bit of mentoring for them, for some of the young athletes that we have on the books. And, I really enjoy that.
It's your cuppa, isn't it?
Yeah, just passing on, knowledge and information and thoughts on, where they're at in their careers. And, I feel quite privileged to be able to pass on the knowledge, obviously, from a playing perspective and then, seeing it from the other side too, what the club expect from me and or expect from the player and the coach. And so that's what I've been up to.
For us older guys, and I say that respectfully, gee, the game's changed since the early 90s, and in a coaching or mentoring capacity, you have got to be in that first wave of knowledge about what the next style of football is, how it's being played, why it's being played. It's constantly evolving.
It is, Andy. But I still think core of it remains the same, and I think that's really important for this generation to be reminded of, like the simplicity. Yes, there's a lot of things the sports scientists and GPS that and all of this and that, and there's they can put a tag on it, but the reality is that I think the core of our game still remains the same, and you look at
run hard, tackle hard,
to be honest, you know, if you look at the top teams in the competition, you know, and Penrith is, you know, they're the benchmark. Yeah. If you look at them, you know, that's what they do very well, and they defend. It's probably hard as probably not quite specific enough for it nowadays, but essentially it's the same. They tackle really well. Their defensive line's really, really well coordinated, and they run bloody hard, you know. So I think the key components, you know, haven't changed a great deal, and I think that's really important for, you know, the younger, you know, generation to be reminded of, but it has changed. It, you know, there are certainly some differences nowadays.
Certainly are.
Any episode, any time, our interviews never date, never any of them. Over 500 to choose from. Download the lot and rip in, legends.
Dream team time, how'd you go coming up with your 13? Is it best ever, or have you had to theme it or narrow it just a little?
Yeah, I tried to think, okay, who have I played with?
Yeah.
You know, and then who have I, you know, been able to coach, you know, be involved with from a coaching perspective.
Wow. Yeah.
So I thought if I married those, you know, two elements together, I thought that was, otherwise I could have, you know, I was thinking that, geez, you could, you know, the list could go on and on and on, you know. So I come up with a 13, you know, based on that. So who I've actually played with.
Okay.
And then who I've had the, you know, pleasure of working with from a coaching perspective.
Okay, so, let's start with the fullback. Who have you got?
Yeah, he's it's pretty easy, that one.
Yep.
You know, it's Billy Slater. And you know, he come down to us, you know, at Melbourne there as a young kid. Mm. He was just such a fearless kid, you know, like, and he had a real, when you watch him, you know, talking with, you know, Reece Walsh today, you know, you can see the similarities. You know, I remember Billy firing balls over the sideline and saying, "Mate, you know, we've got to hold on to the ball, mate." Yeah. Like, completions champ, you know, like. But he said, "Oh, you know, if they hit the mark and we score, you know, you're not complaining." Then I said, "Yeah, well, you're only doing that one out of five, champ."
Yeah. Like,
but he had that, but it didn't worry him.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what I loved about him. And obviously, he was such a, you know, people used to think, I remember people saying, "Oh, you know, he's always catching, you know, the opposition's halfback's kicks on the full." And they thought it was his speed, you know, like, but he would spend that much time in front of the computers looking at the kickers. And I'm talking, you know, this is mid-2000s, you know, like, so.
Really before videos.
Well, before it became a real, you know, like a real tool. And you know, he was studying, you know, okay, where did he prefer to kick? What was his best kick? And, so, you know, he was half a second, you know, a second ahead of, you know, ahead of it already. So, and he just, you know, like, he felt that if he caught the ball on the full, it took a lot of the advantage of the kick away from, you know, obviously, the opposition team. So, and he was like that across all of his game, you know, like,
wow.
So he, you know, like, he really stood out for me. And he was such a tough kid. Like, he had a bad run there, you know, at Melbourne, where, you know, he missed a lot of footy through
with his shoulders,
yeah. and to, you know, a lot of people were sort of, you know, putting the line for him,
yeah.
And you know, he come back and won a premiership after that.
Absolutely,
you know, so he was a tough kid,
superstar, yeah, and very tough and mentally tough. Okay, what about your wingers, mate?
Yeah, I've got one. He's a blast from the past. Sean Hoppy. He was a. He really made his name for himself at Canberra there,
yep.
And he went there as a young fellow. I knew Sean. We played junior Kiwis together.
Really?
Yeah. So we went on a tour to Papua New Guinea. Actually, like I was 16 and he was 19. So junior Kiwis at the time were under 19s.
You toured with the 19s as a 16.
As a 16-year-old, yeah. Jeez. There was three of us in that team. 16-year-olds, I mean. And So, yeah, that was a bit of an eye-opener, touring Papua New Guinea as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
But Sean was on the wing, and, we were pretty close in the sense that, you know, I always, you know, watched his career closely, and, you know, like, he was a prolific try scorer. Oh, yeah. He was a big man, like, coming out of the backfield, like, he was a bit annoying because he would eat buckets of, you know, KFC. There was an ounce of fat on him, you know, like, he was dead set. He was a machine. He'd run all day, like, you know, crack, you know, all the tests that you had back then, you know, he was top of the table.
Wow.
You know, he just didn't look after himself like, you know, like they do nowadays, you know, like, you say, so you're sort of scratching your head going, like,
and he was still so good. What about on the other wing, mate?
On the other wing, it's obviously, a really close friend of mine who played with at Melbourne, Marcus Bai.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, when you talk about the tools nowadays, you know, guys who bring the ball out of the backfield, you know, Marcus was, he was an extra forward for us. And again, when he got close to the try line, he was hard to stop.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, Sean Hoppy and Marcus Bai on the wing. There is two extra forwards. What about our centres?
Yeah, so this one is earlier days. So it's Ruben Wiki. Yeah. I could have put him in the back row. I could have put him in the front row, but I thought, you know, to get a spot in the team, I put him in the centres. Yeah. I thought I'd try and balance it out. So when you hear me next centre, but Ruben was, you know, Ruben, you know, speaks from, you know, he was tough, like, and obviously he was, you know, he was someone, you know, who you wanted to play with. He put the, you know, fear of God in you when you had the ball. So he was, you know, like, he was, and I thought his running game was underrated, you know, because he was such a powerful runner. But yeah, his defense, like, yeah, he frightened you when you were carrying the ball against him. So, and to play 300 games, you know, across all of those, you know, all of the positions that he ended up playing, center, you know, into the front row, into the back row, so. I just think, you know, for me, Rubes was one you wanted in your footy team.
Okay, so Ruben's one centre. Who is on the other side?
Yeah, I thought I'd balance it out with Greggy Inglis. Yeah, so I thought you know, you could have one who, you know, he's gonna, you know, he plays a certain standard every week for every minute, and then you get the other one who's obviously super talented and you know, a big game player. When he turns it on, he certainly turns it on, and that's Greggy Inglis. And I remember him coming to Melbourne as a kid, and he was incredible. You know, just watching some of the things he, you know, I remember we had to put him back at fullback one time when, you know, Billy had to have a spell because he was suspended. We put him back at fullback, and I'm sitting there just watching some of this. We're both, you know, I remember sitting in a box with Craig, and Craig's looking at me, and I'm looking at Craig, and you're just going, wow, like. He was incredible when he was in full flight. You know, having a real go, like, you just thought, wow, this kid's going to be, you know, he's going to be something special, and he certainly was that.
Yeah, he certainly was. Okay, our six and our seven. Who's steering the ship here?
Yeah, I went with Stacey Jones.
Yep.
You know, obviously, I had the privilege of playing with Stace both at a, you know, club level at the Warriors and then at international level, and I just thought he was the best instinctive player.
Yep.
And that's not discrediting, you know, his game planning or his awareness of, you know, like, but geez, like, when he decided to clap it on, like.
Just an out-and-out footy player.
Footy player, yeah. Yep. He had a wonderful sense of space, and, you know, he had a wonderful touch with his, you know, little kick for himself and a real good feel for his, you know, for his support runners, you know, like, he just, but it wasn't, if I'm honest, it wasn't something that he worked on. It just, you know, like it was just, it just happened for him, you know? And so he, you know, he was the half for me. And Scotty Hill actually was, he was the 5'8" that I picked. I just thought, you know, he had a really strong, you know, running game, Scotty. I think he didn't actually play at the back end of 99, you know, the year 99. He was out injured. That's right. So Scotty had a bad shoulder that year.
Yep.
The back end of the year. So, but you know, like when he was playing his best footy, like he was really hard to handle.
Another genuine footballer.
Yeah. You know, he was me 5'8".
This episode is proudly presented by Oxworks, Australia's largest family-owned fencing supplier and manufacturer. Your local Oxworks offers an extensive range of top-quality fencing solutions, glass and aluminium pool fencing, genuine colour-bond steel fencing, slat fencing and laser-cut screens, custom architectural panels and gates. They've got it. No matter if you're a DIY enthusiast or the experienced trade customer, Oxworks has you covered. Shop and browse through the hundreds of quality products online at oxworks.com.au. Even better, visit one of their stores in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, or WA. Thanks, Oxworks, for your awesome support.
This is Andy Raymond Unfiltered. Welcome back. We've got the great man Stephen Kearney with us. We've gone through the back line. Time to move into where the real blokes play their rugby league, the forward pack. Who have you got at lock, mate?
At lock? Yeah, it was a bit of a tough one, actually. I don't know if you can have two, but I've put, you know, one stroke another.
Yep.
I went with, I played with Tawira, Nikau, both at the club level with Melbourne, and then, you know, internationally before I went to Melbourne. And T was a bit like a 5'8", to be honest, playing in the back row. But, you know, obviously he had a real presence about him on the footy field. And so to have that luxury, you know, to have someone like that, he was, you know, you look at Isaiah Yeo nowadays and guys, Cam Murray, who are like ball playing locks, you know, T was that. Early 90s, you know.
But he also had the physical presence.
He did.
Bash you as well.
Yeah. No, if it needed to get a bit, you know, bit rough out there, he didn't have a problem, you know, in doing that either. Yep. So, but the other one that I had there, you know, who is similar to T, to be honest, but he had a streak about him too, was Jeremy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He's a guy, you know, and some occasions stand out, you know, for me, you know, obviously with Melbourne, you know, like he would come up with some plays that would, you know, that were game changing, you know, like and obviously for the Kiwis, he was instrumental in 2008 when we won the World Cup here at Suncorp, and you know, like the presence that he. Very similar to you that they have on the footy field is, you know, like one, you know, he's, you know, they're leaders, you know, they don't want, you know, they don't take backward steps. And, you know, Jeremy was certainly, you know, one of those. He had a bit of a rough edge to him, you know, but again, I didn't mind that from Jeremy. And, but yeah, he was certainly, he would find a spot, you know, somewhere in the team.
Too true. What about our second rowers?
Yeah, the two rat bags that I've just, or T's probably not so much of a rat bag, but Jeremy certainly was. But to balance them out, I had the two back rowers. One was Simon Mannering.
Yep.
The other one was Tohu Harris, you know. So,
wow.
Two guys who, you know, when I'm sort of looking at the team, I'm trying to balance out, we need a bit of rat bag in there, a bit of mongrel. So, you know, that Jeremy's good for that. But we also need guys who are, you know, going to get the job done.
Yep.
Every minute of the game. And Simon Mannering, honestly, he always use the analogy that, you know, if he was playing rugby, you know, union in New Zealand, you know, he would have been an All Black superstar.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he would have been the Richie McCaw of, you know, of because that's, you know, that's what he brought to the table for you. And anyone who played with him, who coached him would tell you that, you know, like, and he played 300 games having to travel across, you know, across the ditch, you know, like, every other week. And his level of performance, you know, never wavered.
There wasn't much between his worst and his best game, was there?
But he won a World Cup, and he also won, I think it might have been 2010 Four Nations tournament.
Yeah,
playing in the centres.
Yeah,
for the Kiwi. You know, like, so you just, like, wherever you put him, he got the job done for you. And so Simon, you know, I have such admiration for, you know, for his game and for the way that he went about it. He was, you know, he was incredible. And obviously T, he's had a couple of injuries, probably over the last two or three years.
Yep.
I know he had a bad one down in Melbourne too. I think it was a Les Frank, you know, the top of your foot.
That's right, yeah.
But he, like, again, he's a half, you know, he's got a halfback's brain, playing in a locks or a back rower's body. Yeah. You know, like, he's got a real
big man.
Big man, yeah, big man, you know, like, he doesn't look like much, you know, he's a bit underwhelming in the sense that, you know, he probably walks with his shoulders down and that, you know, but he'd be over 110 kilos, probably 112. You know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, like, but the beauty about him, like, he's got a real footy intelligence about him, you know, and you know, he's playing great football at the moment.
Great.
And so, yeah, they're my two back rows.
Okay, what about your front rows? Who's setting the platform here?
Yeah, well, one that's I only had the pleasure of playing with him for 1 year, but, you know, watched him from afar, obviously, and he won multiple premierships. And,
yep.
Is Lazo.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, similar to the two back rows in the sense that, you know, he was a real workhorse.
Oh, yeah.
Got your team on the front foot.
Mm.
So, you know, like, you know, he come up, I remember watching him, he'd come up with defensive plays where you think, gee, you know, how did that, he's a big man. How did he get himself in that position to, you know, to be able to save that try or, you know, so he makes a side and the other front row who's, you know, who, again, I went away, he was one of the older guys that I went away to Papua New Guinea with, as I said earlier about Sean, was Quinton Ponga.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's passed away now, Q, but I used to watch him when I'd go to, in New Zealand, they'd have underage tournaments, so under 17s, under 19s, you know, so they had under 15s tournaments, but certainly the under 17s and under 19s, where I was from, that it was about an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
So I remember when I was, because they're always during the school holiday, so I used to, you had to drive out of Wellington to get to Palmerston North.
Yep.
So you had to drive through my town. So I'd go out and I'd hitchhike to, you know, to go to get to the tournaments just to watch
just
them.
Just to look at it, yeah.
And so I always knew, well, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, geez, I hope, you know, someone from town, you know, who recognises me, you know, like someone that I'm, you know, one of the coaches that I've had at some stage, you know, like, drives past. And that would normally happen, you know. So I used to hitchhike to go and watch the 17s and 19s tournaments, you know, like, so. And Q was playing for Canterbury. He was from the West Coast, Q. He was from Greymouth originally, but that's moved across to Christchurch to play in the Canterbury competition. So he was a Canterbury junior, and he's like Rubes in the sense that, you know, you want to play with him, you know, like, he makes you feel safe, you know, like, yep. There was, you had to wear a bit with him, you know, like, in terms of, Sometimes you might not have him in your team because he's suspended, but you want to, you know, like he was ferocious, Q, and you know, just such a tough man, and you just want, you know, like I said, you just wanted him. You know, I remember, and this I'm talking at test match level, you know, and I remember, you know, we would be getting ready for a test match. And, you know, you had the whole the tackle shield, you know, like forwards would start, you know, getting some hits on the tackle shield. And Dad said no one wanted to hold the shield for him because, you know, like, honestly, like, he'd whack you into next week, you know. And,
Just warm-ups.
Mate, I'm on your team, mate.
Yeah. You know,
and so everyone's, you know, everyone's getting a pad and walking away from Q, and he's going, you know, he's yelling at you, swearing at you, get over here. You know, he's trying to get ready to, you know, make some tackles, but everyone's too scared to bloody hold the pad for him.
Terrific. That is terrific.
Yeah, he was you know, he was pretty special.
I got an idea who the hooker may be, but I'll let you.
Yeah. I think, you know, like looking at the group, I think you need someone who can sort of bind them all together. Yep. And, you know, I think you'd do a pretty good job of it. And that's, you know, Cam Smith. Mm. You know, obviously he's, you know, he speaks for himself, to be honest. I had a, you know, to go back, I had a really good relationship with the hooker that was at Melbourne before Cam, when Richie Swain,
yeah.
And, you know, and he was a great, you know, great player too, Richie. Yep. You know, Cam, I'm looking at that team and I'm thinking, you know, he'll be able to, you know, push the buttons to, you know, to make that team, you know, work pretty well. You might have a bit of trouble with Q, but I'm sure you'd be able to pull him in the line. But Cam was pretty special. You know, he his resilience, his durability, he hardly missed footy games.
Yep.
And it was just incredible to watch him. You know, watch him go through and progress, you know, through his career, and his durability was, you know, incredible. And a little story about him, you know, like down in Melbourne, so we would have him and Barbs and Matty Guy. They were close with Matty Guy. Yep. And Ben Guy, and we would often have them over for, you know, say a Sunday lunch, you know, during a pre-season or something like that, a dinner, you know. Like, and I'm just trying to highlight his competitive spirit, you know, and Isabella, my young daughter, you know, like, had a trampoline out the back, and she comes in crying, you know. I'm thinking, you know, I'm, you know, sort of helping out inside, you know, getting things ready. I said, what's the matter? You know, Cameron, and I said, mate, they're playing a game out on the tramp, and he's, you know, like, he doesn't want to lose against a four-year-old, like, you know. Like, I said, champ, like, mate, come on, like, you're making the kids cry because you want to win a game of on the tramp, like.
Oh, that's.
But it, but again, it was just a, you know, that's, he was competitive at everything, you know, like, but I thought he took it a bit too far that day.
The Stephen Kearney Dream Team: Billy Slater, Sean Hoppy, Ruben Wiki, Greg Inglis, Marcus Bice, Scott Hill, Stacey Jones. The forward pack: 40 minutes at lock is Tawara Nikau, 40 minutes to Jeremy Smith. Torhu Harris and Simon Mannering are the back rowers. Quentin Pongia, Glenn Lazarus, Cameron Smith, the front row. Fair old side right there. Always a pleasure, mate. Keep well. Thanks once again for dropping in.
Thanks, mate.
That's it for another edition of Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This is what our off-season looks like, because the footy talk, it never stops. Early in the week, we release a podcast titled Debut Day, speaking to current and former players about the first time they stepped foot onto an NRL field. Midweek, it's the Best Of podcast. Interview highlights with some of the biggest names the game has ever seen. We've got immortals, blokes that should be immortals, test captains, origin superstars, premiership winners, and a whole lot more. These are the best footy stories you will ever hear. Weekends, our Dream Team series continues. We love it, we know you do too, so we get to continue the arguments over who is the best 13 ever. This is the only footy podcast that talks with the superstars and not about them every single episode. 3 episodes weekly, all off-season. Make sure you come back soon, legends.